All right, here we go. Lou chat. Señores and señoritas, niños and niñas, luchadores and luchadores, the trending topics network in conjunction with the Verbal Variety Network are going to bring you Lou chat. Lou chat is a podcast that chats all about the happenings within Lucha Underground. And I'm the host, Finn Fish, and this is the 51st installment of Lou chatting. I know. I've been telling you I didn't want to take some weeks off, but man, once you hear these stories, you're going to be amazed. I got to go to Money in the Bank in Las Vegas. I had my family reunion, got some bad tips on moving, but we have two great, super stupendous episodes of Lucha Underground to cover. And so what's up with you? Yes, yeah, just been hectic over here, just a lot of partying. This is my birthday just a few days ago, and we had to get all that in, a lot of fiesta in, but it's all good now. We're on the right path, especially going into Ultima Lucha, which is only like 2 weeks away at this point. But what's up? What do you want to just get into the news? You want to rush all through this? That's cool. Let's do it. Let's just start off with Candice LeRae. Candice LeRae had worked a dark match within Lucha Underground just a few weeks ago. She teamed up with her usual partner, Joey Ryan. I think they're the cutest tag team ever down in PWG, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. They took on Sami Callihan and his girlfriend, Jessica Havoc. Jessica Havoc is a former TNA Knockout. So far, the reports are no word yet if Candice LeRae or Jessica Havoc has signed with Lucha Underground, but you never know. There's always been people just working behind the scenes and then eventually getting their spots on TV. But that's pretty cool. I wonder if they're going to keep Jessica Havoc's name. You know, will she just be Havoc and Sister Havoc? She'd be the sister of Sally Havoc. You know what? We'll come up with something for her here pretty soon. But let's move over to the next news bit. It seems that Rey Mysterio has been reportedly has been approached by Lucha Underground to sign an extension on his deal. His current deal expires in another 6 months after they tape season 4. So they're pumping out the tapings really quick here. But it seems in a bit his contract's going to expire. I hope they can keep him on, you know, the King of Lucha style, Rey Mysterio. And we have some more news here, which I didn't think was real, and I finally got home to check the laptop and this particular site I go to for Lucha News, and people send me in news as well. But I was just strolling around, and as I look up so much Lucha, everything Lucha comes to me on my phone. So they're saying, like, Prince Puma was given a large contract from Lucha Underground, and I was like, okay, I hope so. I hope this is big. But there's one part of the news bit that just didn't sit right with me. They're saying some outside company would be paying Prince Puma's bills if Lucha Underground went under. And that's where I was like, I never heard that before in a contract. Maybe, you know, just insurance policy so they can keep him. But and he can keep all his indie dates, which he's doing now. So I don't even think that would be a problem anyways. But right now, Ricochet is just tearing it up out there. And as of him being Ricochet, just over the moon. But as Prince Puma, he's not really known it, you know, as well as Prince Puma, even though they're the same person. So hopefully he can bridge the gap in between them. As you know, I am both characters, and I wrestle just as equally as good as either character is. So we can get that notoriety from him being not just Ricochet wrestling down in New Japan. We can get him as the guy that's also in Lucha Underground. You know, spread some of that buzz that he's getting for that Will Ospreay match. And here we are with the viewership numbers for Lucha Underground, this last week's episode. The one with the big hyped match for Ultima Lucha. And it came in around 104,000 viewers, which is up from 95,000 viewers which is good. I mean, it's great. We need to build that number, especially going into Ultima Lucha. Let's keep spreading the word. And another big news bit is I am going to do the recap of Ultima Lucha Dos Part 1, 2, and 3 on the All Wrestling Weekend review. That's going to be pretty cool. I was complaining that they were getting some TNA reviews, which is cool. But what's wrong with, Lucha Underground? Why can't we get that? Was Ultima Lucha is a big event. So I was granted permission to do the recap, which was being three parts since Ultima Lucha is in three parts. So yeah, that's good news for us. So we can spread the word even more of Lucha Underground and also Lou Chat. And looks like that's going to clear up the news here. And so let's see who had wanted to chit chat. And chit chatting is easiest ways to reach the show to talk to me about anything Lucha. And it's easy, very simple. I'm on Twitter, FinFishSCU on Twitter. And you can send me an email to my Gmail account, which is finfishscu@gmail.com. And the most popular way, hands down, to reach the show is our chat line, which is 702-803-2428. 702-803-CHAT. And man, I chatted it up so much this week. Oh, it kind of sucks in a way that I talk so much lucha outside of the show, because in when it comes to the show, I'm like, oh man, I talk so much already. What did I want to talk about new? What did I say about this guy was funny? What did they say about this person that was funny? So I'm probably gonna slow down a little on too much conversation, especially before I do the show. So it just helps me out a little bit more because I want all my ideas to be fresh. I don't listen to any reports or read any reports about what's happening in Lucha. I watch the show. I avoid every spoiler and any spoiler, even if it's not a spoiler. I don't like to know the reveals of the matches until I watch Lucha Underground. So that anticipation, so I can think of calling it better. If I knew a guy's gonna win, it throws me off just a little when I do recap of the matches. But it's all good there. And just a lot of people wanted to chat about all different types of topics. And we're going to save, because a lot of the topics spoil what is going to happen within Lucha Underground, these two upcoming episodes of Six to Survive and Fame and Fortune, which is such a good name. Trust me, you're gonna like, wow, Fame and Fortune. Yeah, that's a great episode, as well as Six to Survive. But so what do you want to do here? You want me to tell you about the trip to Las Vegas? Nah, I live in Las Vegas. I'm not that far technically. I'm like a minute away, but it's all good. Because we went to see Money in the Bank. And then I had my family reunion, which we could share that story. We're going to break it up with the family reunion in between the two episodes of Lucha Underground that we're going to cover. And then I'll give you what happened on All, what happened at Money in the Bank, which was great. You're going to spin your head on this one. But so, what else we're going to do? Let's start to recap this. Hit that fighting music. We're going to start this one with our first and only lucha of the night. Yes, right. Six to Survive takes up the whole time. And we have our competitors in the ring. King Cuerno, Evil-Lice, Taya, Pentagon Jr., Phoenix, and Johnny Mundo in an elimination style match. And the winner of this match will become the number one contender and part of the main event at Ultima Lucha, taking on the Lucha Underground World Champion Matanza. And damn, that's right. All night long, babe, pretty much with this match. And this is going to be hard to call, but let's just run through some of the quick eliminations. As we have King Cuerno hoisting up Phoenix for the thrill of the hunt, but that ain't gonna happen because Mil Muertes is marching his ass down to the ring, followed by Katrina. He contends Spears Cuerno, punches a Cuerno out, picks up Cuerno for a very sloppy power bomb. Just looks mad as hell, leaves the ring. Johnny Mundo sees an opportunity to hit the end of the world. Bam, 1, 2, 3. Johnny Mundo has just eliminated Cuerno, which was doing very good into this point of the match, but you know, this is a long one, so let's keep on moving on. And our next elimination comes when Ivelisse comes charging and on Taya. Taya reverses it and hits a Northern Lights suplex, floats over as in to do another Northern Lights, but instead does a short double foot stomping. 1, 2, 3. That's right, Taya has just eliminated Ivelisse. I know I'm just running through these, but damn, this six-way match is so good. Trust me, I want you guys to get out there and watch this six-way. A lot of different contrasts and styles, but these six, I see why they picked them to be in this style of match, because everyone has a little bit of a story with each other. As in, we think Johnny Mundo and Taya are dating or whatever or not. We know that Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. are brothers. Ivelisse has a little dislike for Johnny Mundo and Taya, and King Cuerno has the dislike of Phoenix. So we have a lot of stories that we could tell within this match, and let's just roll on to the next elimination. We have Taya eating a super kick from Phoenix just to spin out into the arms of Pentagon Jr., who hits her with the 3 up, 3 down package pile driver, plants her for the 1, 2, and 3. And Taya has just been eliminated. And throughout this match, it was very good because we almost forgot that Taya and Pentagon Jr. are a part of the Los Perros del Mal. Los Perros del Mal, which is translates to the Dogs of Evil, and one of the biggest factions in AAA right now. So they're actually part of a team in AAA, but on this day they weren't. This is great. Pentagon Jr. keeps kicking the hell out of Taya in her legs, her thighs, and one kick just right on her ass. It is very good, but I guess we'll see you next time, Taya. As now we got a three-way match, and this is where the action actually starts picking up, because these three are great competitors, and Johnny Mundo has put his A game on. Phoenix is just, you know, a little bit off, same with Pentagon Jr., but we just roll over to the next elimination. Now we have Johnny Mundo laid out. Now Pentagon sets his eyes on Phoenix. They go at it. Now we have Phoenix with a wheelbarrow on Pentagon. Pentagon tries to roll him up by sliding in between his legs. They trip over Johnny Mundo. It seems a little mess up in his move set right here. They land on top of him. Forget it. The ref starts counting 1, 2, 3. And now Johnny Mundo has been eliminated. Like I say, a little wonky, but they try to pull it off. It looked pretty cool at first, but it looked like Pentagon was getting pinned at the same time. He lifted his shoulders at the 3 count, but it looked like the wrong shoulder. The ref would have been out of position, but the ref was paying attention to Johnny Mundo, and which is a great thing in this scenario. And now the brothers, Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix, go at it, and they get another like 20 minutes. This is another classic, another barn burning match. You just gotta watch this. I know I'm just skimming through and giving you the little bits here and mostly the eliminations, but this is a match. I say this to almost all the matches that have multiple people in it. Too many moving parts for me to call, and it's just so spectacular. Oh my gosh, the combination, like I'm saying, the combination of these wrestlers putting into this ring was just perfect. But we're going to move into the elimination to see who is the winner of the six to survive match, and that will go on to Ultima Lucha Dos to take on the Lucha Underground World Champion Matanza. And this winning sequence was just so spectacular. Pentagon is in the corner, Phoenix comes rushing in, Pentagon with that nice place super kick. Pentagon jumps up to the top rope, but he's just so perched up there, hits a Canadian destroyer, jumps onto Phoenix and then does the flip into the pile driver, and picks Phoenix up, as in it's just a smooth transition, picks him up for that three up, three down package pile driver. 1, 2, 3, and your number one contender for the Lucha Underground World title and the winner of this match, Pentagon Jr. Now, without hesitation, Dario Cuarto and Matanza Cuarto are on the steps of the temple looking down, and Pentagon picks up the mic, goes, "I'm gonna break all your bones, dude." That's pretty much it, and you gotta like it. This is the match everyone's been calling for, and this is the match we're gonna get. And it was spectacular. You know, Pentagon with the trials and tribulations of getting his back broken from Matanza. Now he's trying to look like he wants to break every bone in Matanza's body and capture his first Lucha Underground World title. So yeah. That was it. That was that episode, and I liked it. I liked it a lot. Just like I'm keep saying, just these six were just great. Cuerno we could have done without, but we needed a quick elimination. We didn't want the women to get eliminated, and it made sense for Matanza to come out to Middle Mortes to come out to just, you know, take him out. Yeah, you ain't getting no world title shot, man. What you done to me? Capturing me and putting me in some damn glass case. This is what you get. And you got it good. So that was the end of that episode, six to survive. And let me tell you about my it wasn't family reunion, but it could have been. It was my grandma's 80th birthday. We had it in a park that's actually very cool because it's close to my house. It's called Sunset Park. I've never heard of it. It's a big old pond. You can go fishing. They have a lot of ducks. But anyways, my nieces and nephews listen to the show. Listen to this show, Lucha Chat, because my brother is into Lucha Underground. I got him into Lucha Underground. He wants to call in, but I don't know. He's still, you know, a little shy about it. But it's all right. So we're sitting around, and I'm not one to be always around my family. And so my nieces and nephews ask me, "Hey, you're the guy that does Lucha Chat?" I'm like, "Yep, that's me." And they go, how about we give you some advice? And I go, do you listen to the show? I know they do, but I was asking them. I'm like, yes. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Like, no more impressions. I was like, And then my niece and my nephew were going back and forth. No, I like him. I don't like him. I like him. I like this one. I like that one. I'm like, okay. You know. And then asking me if my son listens in while I do the show, which, you know, he doesn't. You know, I try to do the show in complete silence because a lot of people look at me funny when I'm doing the show. It's like, what the hell am I yelling about? So I don't do it when, try not to do it when anyone's around, but it happens. But eventually the conversation dies down, and then I go, you know, señores and señoritas, niños and niñas, and all of a sudden you see their eyes like get wide, and they're like, huh? And they look over at me and go, luchadores and luchadores. And I'm like, yeah. That's it. That's how I like. And I'm like, yeah. But that's pretty much the end of that experience. You know, we were talking about lucha and what they liked about it. And, you know, they just like the high flying. Pretty much they're not into the people, but it's like the smash mouth, high flying combination attacks. But that's just the little story I wanted to share there. And let's get into this next episode of Lucha Underground. It is Fame and Fortune. We start this episode of Fame and Fortune off in Dario Cuarto's office as he's speaking to the newest luchador in Lucha Underground, the Dark Claw. Dario Cuarto pumps up the Dark Claw by telling him how good and how great he's seen him and how bad he wants him in the temple. And he's going to give him a signing bonus just for coming to Lucha Underground. He automatically gets it. Ancient Aztec medallion. That's right. He's already going to be in Ultima Lucha, and that's where he's going to make his debut in the Gift of the Gods title match. And Derek Cuarto, you know, runs him down a little bit more, saying how cool he is and how he can trace his lineage back further than they can Prince Puma's. Uh-oh, maybe for some foreshadowing right there. But he tells Dark Claw, watch out, because your Jaguar tribe had been faded out because of your over viciousness or never thinking, always attacking. So you need to watch out a little bit for that. But we're glad you're here, and I'll see you at Ultima Lucha 2. And here we are with our first lucha of the night, and it is for an ancient Aztec medallion. As we have Daga taking on Mascarita Sagrada with Famous B and Brittany in his corner. And this is a pretty good match, as Daga is still just taking it to Mascarita. And we see Mascarita with a lot of tornado and flipping around DDTs. But eventually Daga gets the win with a... And with our first lucha tonight is for an ancient Aztec medallion, as we have Daga taking on Mascarita Sagrada with Famous B and Brittany in his corner. And this is a pretty good match, as Daga still stays intense, not giving an inch to Mascarita Sagrada. And the whole time we have Cobra Moon looking down off the top of Derek Cuarto's office at Daga in this match, cheering him on and celebrating and all of that. But we're just going to roll into the finish of this one, as Daga goes for a Mexican leg sweep into a submission hold. And then we have Mascarita tapping out. We have Cobra Moon over there celebrating. And Famous B and Brittany get into the ring to, you know, to console Mascarita Sagrada. And Brittany gives him a kiss, and then Famous B gives him a kick. Famous B is now upset at what Mascarita Sagrada, making him look like a fool. Takes his shoe off, starts beating him with it, as Brittany's asking, what's going on? What are you doing? Which is pretty cool. I like this whole thing. Like, she didn't know what's happening. But maybe she didn't. But it is pretty cool. So we have a beatdown on Mascarita Sagrada. And Famous B says he's going to find someone that make him famous, and he's going to find someone to beat Mascarita Sagrada. I like this. I think I had this storyline, didn't I? Oh, that's right. We had Mascarita Sagrada going on a losing streak in our Aztec curse. Then, you know, if he loses, and keeps losing, he'll leave the temple. He eventually beats Chavo Guerrero in my scenario, which Chavo Guerrero is now exited out of Lucha Underground forever. But maybe they might be going this way. I don't know, but I'm liking this. So now we have Daga capturing the second Aztec medallion, ancient Aztec medallion of the night, as all of them will be given out tonight. Now we're back in Derek Cuarto's office, and he's talking to Dragon Azteca Jr. As he's saying, telling Dragon Azteca Jr., you're going to get your revenge on the person who has killed your mentor, but it's not my brother. My brother does not kill. But you will get your revenge one day, but at Ultima Lucha, you will be able to face Black Lotus. And look into Black Lotus's eyes, it might tell you something. Dragon Azteca is not buying any of this, and he goes, you know what, I'll take on Black Lotus now. And Dragon Jericho says, I'm going to give her opportunities, and I'm telling you this information now, but don't act on it until Ultima Lucha 2. So there we go. Now the other participant knows that he's in a match at Ultima Lucha 2, and that would be Dragon Azteca taking on the debuting match of Black Lotus. And our second lucha of the night is for three ancient Aztec medallions, as we have a trios match where the winners of the match will receive these medallions. And our first team is Joy Ryan, Cortez Castro, and Mr. Cisco taking on Sinestro de la Muerte, Killshot, and Marty the Moth. Before the match even starts, we see Killshot making a beeline to the ring after Marty the Moth. Marty the Moth's like, hey man, let's put our differences to the side. I'm going to give you your dog tags back. Let's just win this match. And what a match it is. These multi-man matches, I like to break down the individual guys and what they do. And we're going to start with Sinestro de la Mortez. And he might be my worst, best gimmick. Or not best gimmick, great gimmick, worst in-ring competitor. This guy cannot hit this leg drop to save someone else's life. I think they dodged it this time, but come on, man. I know this is your signature move because who you were before used to hit this perfectly. So I don't understand why you're not hitting it now. Up next is Joey Ryan. Joey Ryan plays his usual shtick. Him and Marty Demoff trade this the popsicle. Or the lollipop he's sucking on. They both go after sucking on it. And then they pass it off to Killshot, who just knocks it out of their hand onto the floor. Joey Ryan plays his character 100% perfect. No flaws in it. Needs a little bit more intensity moves for me. But, you know, I like that he doesn't sell nut shots. They're like, oh, he's wearing a cup. Nah, let the man, not let him believe that he has a cup on. So, yeah, maybe one match he, like, has a cup in and they kick him like, oh, and he takes it out and they kick him. He's like, it still don't hurt. So it's just the action of believing. So we're going to move to Marty Demoff. Marty Demoff is wrestles as a much bigger guy than he is. A little bit of lucha moves here, you know, big guys can do lucha moves as well, but he's missing something. Him and Sinestro de la Mortez are just both missing something. But we're gonna move over to Mr. Cisco. Mr. Cisco is busting out all of the lucha moves. Damn, this big dude is doing all the lucha moves, becoming a crowd favorite with, you know, his doing lucha arm drags, doing you know, breaking out of holds with lucha attacks. So they're liking him, and he's growing on the fans. He's just missing the good feud, you know, which hopefully comes here pretty soon. We're gonna move over to Killshot, who's just spectacular to watch in the ring. I like Killshot. I like he's picked up his moves a little bit more. I like how he was slow, but he's moving just a little too fast for me. But he's Killshot. He has a boom hit the attack, and his drop kick when you're down, you know, you're sitting down, and he drop kicks you in the head is precision, perfect. And we have Cortez Castro still sticking to his regular stick. Not improving or, you know, decreasing in the moveset department, but he could, you know, use that Kindle stick that you bring to the ring all the time to, you know, further your offense, like Sandman. I think I came up with that gimmick for him since he's using that Kindle stick a lot, you know, side Russian leg sweep or side Russian or side Mexican leg sweep, and doing, you know, pump handle slams, doing a lot of offense with that Kindle stick. But either way, we're going to move into the finish of this. We have a Joy Ryan, Mr. Cisco, and Torres Castro arguing over who's going to take the spotlight, as Joy Ryan needs the spotlight and blowing out some stuff a little too loud or yelling out some stuff. And, you know, Cortez is like, hey, come on, man. And like, this is my house, this is my ring, this dude ain't nothing, this dude. And he's trying to calm him down. He pushes Cortez, Mr. Cisco pushes him down on the ground. Marty Demoff takes advantage of this as he hits a curved stomp we see up in that air Killshot, hitting that like double knees into the, you know, to the shoulders, and gets the 1-2-3 in your winner, Sinestro de la Mortez, Killshot, and Marty Demoff. The guys are still arguing even though they lost the match. This part I really don't like. The Marty Demoff is now taking the dog tags back, but he didn't even wait to the three count. Sinestro de la Mortez is dreaming of better days when he can hit a leg drop. And they start handing out the medallions. Already Marty Demoff has the dog tags. He shoves the ref into Killshot and runs off. So he has what he wanted. Always a medallion, and he has those dog tags back. And our final lucha of the night is for two ancient Aztec medallions, as we have the team of Sexy Star and Mariposa taking on Taya and Evil Lisa. You're probably like, what? Did you get that right? Yep. Daria Kirtle's idea to team up these women, and the winning team will get the two ancient Aztec medallions. And let's just another multi-man or a multi-woman match, I should say. And let's just break this down individually before we get into the finish of it. Ivelisse, she claims to be the baddest bitch, but in the ring with four women, and I don't think so. She's the shortest of the women, and she held her own, but her tag team partner Talia was just awesome in this match. But before we get too much into her, let's go over to, let's see, Mariposa. I'm a big fan of Mariposa, or her real persona as cheerleader Melissa Flash. And she was reluctantly teamed with a sexy star, but she treated her as a partner. But as the match was going on, she started beating the hell out of sexy star at turns, you know, pushing her into stuff and kicking her, and just, you know, just doing more heel work. Like, she started to care, but then she didn't care what team she was on, which I like. It makes like, I might not like, I know we gotta win, we gotta work together, but here's a quick kick, you know, just to remind you that I ain't playing with you. Talia, like I was saying before, maybe the tallest of all these women, just, oh man, watching in the ring, you're like, this white chick, yeah, she's great. She's very good in the ring, which is cool. You know what? I just thought of this right now. These four individuals are from different parts of the world. They're saying Ivelisse is from Puerto Rico. She is Puerto Rican. We know Taya is from Canada. Mariposa, Melissa Flash, cheerleader Melissa, is from California. And sexy stars from Mexico. And let's get into sexy star. Same old stuff from sexy star. I do like her matchup against Ivelisse, which is very good. I like how they're pointing out like how she has a big disadvantage against Taya, since Taya is so much taller than her. They should get Mariposa versus Taya, which they ain't touched too much, which is gonna be a good match down the road, I think. But like I said, let's just jump into the finish. We have Taya rushing it into Sexy Star. Sexy Star sidesteps her as she accidentally spears Ivelisse. Taya actually looks concerned at this point, but Sexy Star doesn't care. She takes Taya outside. Mariposa gets into the ring and hits a perfect kryptonite crunch. Bam. Sexy Star's just in the ring looking around for some odd reason. Mariposa grabs her, throws her on top of Ivelisse. 1, 2, 3, and your winners of the two remaining Aztec ancient medallions, Mariposa and Sexy Star. And this is a great, oh my gosh, I like how they're building up this whole match. The two teams of women will be going to Ultima Lucha to be in this match for the Gift of the Gods title. We know Sexy Star has been there. We've seen Ivelisse taking on Middle Mortes. So what could this be? One of these women could be the Gift of the Gods champion, and one of these women could beat Matanza Cuerpo, maybe just by, you know, their sex appeal or whatever it can take. But I like this, and throughout the whole night there have been advertising Prince Puma announcing what he's going to do at Ultima Lucha Dos, and now it's time for that. As Prince Puma, you know, speaking perfect English, no accent, no breaking of the words, which is cool, you know, since he's not Mexican. But either way, he calls down. When he was training with Conan, he used to tell him he could be good, he could be great, he could be even the next Rey Mysterio. And now that is stuck in his head. He doesn't want to be the next Rey Mysterio. He wants to be better than Rey Mysterio. He calls out Rey Mysterio, the king of a lucha style. Rey tells him, you know what? I'll accept your match because I want to know if I still have it. I want to know if I still got it. So you're on at Ultima Lucha Dos. It will be Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Prince Puma. And here we go. All right now. Watch out. I've been calling for this match the whole time. Trust me, don't look up no spoilers, people. I'm not wasting my time and lying because they ain't cool. So either way, if I do catch a spoiler, I'm not spoiling it for anyone. And I'm not going to go, oh, I know what's going to happen, because that seems kind of dumb. But either way, I knew this was going to happen. And this is the perfect match. This is going to be a good match. And I didn't want to spoil it earlier on for this match. But yeah, King of the Lucha style, Rey Mysterio. And the Prince of Boyle Heights, the Prince of Lucha Underground, Prince of Puma. I'm all adding most of these narratives in of who these people are, because they do a good job, but I like, you know, saying who they are myself. But another great episode of Lucha Underground. One episode give out all 7 ancient Aztec medallions. Bam, just like that. One was given away, another 6 were earned, but... we have 2 more matches signed for Ultima Lucha Dos. It would be the Rey Mysterio taking on Prince Puma. And we're going to have Dark Claw, Daga, Killshot, Sinestro de la Muertes, Marty the Moth, Sexy Star, and Mariposa in the 7-way for the Gift of the Gods title. So that's going to be pretty cool. It's building up. Ultima Lucha is building up. I don't know what other matches, because like I said, I don't look nothing up. But I see a match of King Cuerno taking on Mil Muertes. You know what would be cool, honestly, if Sinestro de la Muertes gives up his ancient Aztec medallion to Mil Muertes. I mean, it probably won't happen, but whatever. Maybe he might wrestle twice. You never know. We have the Killshots are in the other match. So there goes that match. We need a few more matches, because looking ahead, because we're going to do the thing for the All Wrestling Weekend Review. There are going to be 6 parts to Ultima Lucha Dos, or 6 parts, 3 parts to Ultima Lucha Dos. So when we recap those, you know, for the show, it's going to be pretty cool. So I need to know how many episodes, because last time for Ultima Lucha Uno and Ultima Lucha One, we know there's 2 parts, so now that it's 3, we could time it. We can get everything down right pat. So that's the only time we looked ahead. Plus, they're advertising it. They have to advertise all 3 shows for Ultima Lucha, which is cool. I like that. It's not just one night. It's 3 nights, 3 different nights, 3 different weeks of partying with Lucha Underground. And that's it for that Lucha Underground. If you have any discussions, anything you want to talk about with Lucha Underground, you have any questions, go ahead and hit up the chat line. It's easy. 702-803-2428. 702-803-CHAT. We chat on GroupMe. It's usually for the All Wrestling Weekend Review fans of that show. But a lot of people ask me a lot of Lucha questions on there. I just want to know who this person is or that person is. So I get a lot of insight on there. But I guess I could try to send you an invite if, you know, if it's possible. If you want to get into a discussion with a lot of great people of Lucha or WWE, a lot of different areas of wrestling that we talk about on All Wrestling. So if you're into, you know, New Japan or whatever, whatnot, go ahead and get on with us on GroupMe and I'll send you an invite. Just let me know. Don't forget to check me out on Twitter, FinFishSCU, or I'm always following all the Lucha Underground stars, from Cobra Moon all the way up to Mil Muertes. So that's very great. I'm reading their timelines. You know, I don't get too much into them, but I'm on there. I'm, you know, following them. So that's great right there. And let's get into my day at Money in the Bank, which is held at the T-Mobile Arena, the brand new arena inside Las Vegas, Nevada. It is right behind New York, right next to the Monte Carlo. So if you know where I'm talking about, that's where it's at. So I got I can't say the 12th hour, but or the 11th hour, they say. Maybe at the 5th hour, I was actually able to secure a ticket to Ultima Lucha. A guy that I go with, 2 of the guys that I hang out with at Sam's Town to watch these WWE pay-per-views with, I gotten tickets, and then I was like, hey, if you ever get an extra ticket, let me know. they traded those tickets in for a group ticket of 6 tickets. So that was pretty cool. Actually, they traded up, which is even better. So that was good. So I got opportunity to go. We started off by meeting everyone up at this bar. I forget the name of the bar, but it's pretty cool because they had some UNLV memorial stuff up. It was excellent. They had the UNLV fight song, which is always cool, you know, go fight and win. Let's see, we drank there. And one of the guys, or two of the guys there, said, hey, someone just texted me that Vince McMahon's at the restaurant where we work. But, you know, whatever. But that's where we're going to park, because I don't know this, but apparently they charge $35 to park at the T-Mobile Arena. And that ain't going to happen. I'll tell you one thing. Not in Las Vegas. I mean, they charge you for parking now, but there's like 118 ways around that shit. Anyways, we go there to his restaurant because it's right across the street from the T-Mobile Arena. So the restaurant he works is actually on the strip. We drive by some limos and stuff, and he's like, yeah, maybe he is in there, but we're in separate cars. So he's telling us when he gets out, so we're rushing in to get inside. And all and behold, right there, Vince McMahon in the back, eating on some steak, and it was pretty cool. I got to get a glimpse of Vince McMahon live, and this is natural element. We couldn't get any autographs or take pictures because they all would have got fired for it, which I understand. A billionaire dude eating at your restaurant, you know, he wants a little bit of privacy, right? So we just jumped over across the street to the T-Mobile Arena, and this is the funny part. This is hilarious to me. So we're walking in, and these guys are cool. I never met these guys before. I just met them. And they're like, hey, man, I'll take that money to break briefcase away from you. Yeah, I'll cash it in. And these guys, big dudes, walking our way. I wasn't paying attention at first. And like, hey, dude, I'll take that title off you. I'll beat you for that title. And funny enough, it is Big C. That's right. Big C has been on the show plenty of times. And he's there with his world title. I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, he's like at the event. He got a booth. That's right. Him and his family got a booth for the event, which is very cool. But and dude's like, man, the first guy I tell I'm going to take the title from, you know him. What's a coincidence? And then we go inside. We forget that. We don't go outside yet because we're like, let's go get some more beers. Run across the street to the Monte Carlo, grab some more to drink. We go inside. T-Mobile Arena is nice. Good parking. It's brand new, less than a year old. So that's very cool in that regard. Yeah, checking out this new arena. Plenty of ways to get in, not just one way. Figured I went out other MGM Grand. I mean, you got two ways, but just has a lot of doors to get in, not just filtering people in. Anyways, great event. Money Bank was a blast. It was loud. Brand new arena for our brand new hockey team, the Las Vegas Blackjacks. The Las Vegas Black Knights. So that's going to be pretty cool. I think they're coming next, not this upcoming season, the season after that. So we got a professional hockey team. Finally got a professional team in Las Vegas. We had plenty of amateur teams. We have amateur baseball. But our first professional team is a hockey team. Oh, time to be a hockey fan, it seems. But, yeah, big nights for a lot of the stars, especially Dean Ambrose, who won the Money in the Bank match, won the Money in the Bank briefcase, and then cashed it in later on that night to beating Seth Rollins to become the WWE World Champ. The part about this I like is that Dean Ambrose actually lives in Las Vegas. He actually stays, I heard, around the corner from where I live. You know, so that's pretty cool. Near Green Valley Ranch, if you know, getting directions, a nice neighborhood over there. So I figured a lot of the stars stay over in that area. And I'm just lucky enough to luck out and stay close to there, which doesn't mean I got nearly the green they got. It's just Las Vegas is built like weird like that. I stay really close to Wayne Newton. I could probably throw a rock at his house. Not get throw that far, but yeah, I stay really close to him, so it's not a big deal that you stay near celebrities or big mansions, because they're usually gated up or like at a private home or private gated community. So there was an event that had Money in a Bank. Like I said, if you want to know anything else, you come to an event in Las Vegas, you want me to fly out to catch your events, trust me. A lot of people are like, hey, Finn, come on, watch Lucha and laughs. That's from Rocky Mountain High. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to look up some tickets. I fly cheap. I don't bring much luggage with me. So I'm willing to fly and hang out, you know, as long as I got a place to stay, man, I'll fly anywhere. So, yeah, just look me up if you want to catch some wrestling here in Las Vegas. Or you need a friend, need someone to hang out with, catching shows, I'm down anytime. But it looks like that's going to be it. And I'm definitely glad you're listening to the show. I'm very happy with the Trending Topics Network for letting me put this show on their network. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Trending Topics Network. Man, they got a lot of great shows to get into. If you want to find the show a little bit easier, just this show, go on to the Verbal Variety Network, where we just put up the show just a couple of days late. I want to thank always Anna, who always wants to chat. She's always into Lucha, and she's getting into ROH, which, man, we're going to have so much to talk about here pretty soon. Want to thank Rocky Mountain High, you know, he's always supporting the show. Let's just thank anyone and everyone who wants to chat. We have a few people wanting to chat on the GroupMe. I'm forgetting who you were at this time, but your questions are always great. We'll come up with those and read those next week. And that's about it on who we want to thank. And now that you did all of that, you listened to the news, you listened to recaps of both shows, you heard about my family get together, you heard about my time at Money in a Bank, and now we chatted. Adios.
Contact the hierba, lo que será, será cuando vuelva.